as a prior Sunday school teacher would go, it's already 9:02 or 9:01. It's 9:02 at this point. So shall we start with a word of prayer? Precious Heavenly Father, just thank you for the wonderful opportunity to be in your house of prayer, of worship, and just show me how to be your spokespiece and just bring this message and just use it to bring you praise and glory and honor. In your name, amen. So, before we start our lesson, I want to release Kevin just this once from his responsibility to keep me from talking too much. Yeah. Well, keep using your good judgment there. So, this Sunday school lesson is an introduction to the study book, One Another, A Guide for Strengthening God-Given Relationships. And I didn't get very far in the introduction, I have to admit, so please forgive me, but I just think this, it's important to do a little more of an overview. So as the subtitle suggests, God is the source for these relationships and for strengthening these relationships. What should these relationships look like? Well, the study book gives a beautiful example that goes like this. A couple was out shopping when the wife realized that her husband was missing. She called him on her mobile phone and said, "Where are you? You know we have lots to do." Her husband replied, "Sweetheart, do you remember the jewelers we went into about 10 years ago and you fell in love with that diamond necklace? I couldn't afford it at the time, and I said that one day I would get it for you." Little tears started to flow down her cheeks, and she got all choked up. "Yes, I do remember that shop," she said. "Well, I'm in the gun shop next to that." Okay, maybe that's not the best example of the kind of relationship we're talking about. Let's try it again. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. I think that's a much better example of the kind of relationship we're supposed to have with our Christian brothers and sisters, don't you? Okay. Of course, to have a relationship with our Christian brothers, we must first have a relationship with God. As the Apostle John so eloquently states, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." We cannot enjoy our relationships with fellow Christians unless we have fellowship with God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son. Fellowship, in the Greek, you knew that was coming, guys. It's koinonia, which means co-sharer, and eventually the root word is soon, which means union, with and together. But that soon for union implies a much closer bond, a much closer relationship than the usual Greek words used, which are meta or para. We are to have an actual fellowship that binds us together, and we're bound together by the Holy Spirit. Now, our relationship with God affects our relationship to other Christians. "This then is the message which ye have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin." Our relationship with our fellow Christian brothers also can affect our relationship with God. "If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. For some reason, all of these verses in 1 John seem so fresh in my mind. It's just weird. Now, in studying for this lesson, I noticed that this study course has 9 separate chapters, each dealing with one aspect of building relationships with fellow Christians. For instance, love one another, admonish one another, serve one another, be kind to one another. And as I was reading this, just kind of skimming over it, trying to get a better idea what it's about, I couldn't help noticing the similarities to the 9 listed attributes of the fruit of the Spirit listed in Galatians 5, 22, and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. In the time remaining, I would like to do a quick overview of each of these attributes of the fruit of the Spirit and how they equip us to have the God-given relationships necessary to build and edify the church. Number 1, love, agape, God's love or love from God. In his last gathering with his apostles before his crucifixion, Jesus' main instructions, his commandment that he repeated multiple times, was that they love one another. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. I think it's fitting that the fruit of the Spirit passage begins with love, because I believe that love is the foundation for all of the other attributes of the fruit of the Spirit. As it says in 1 Corinthians 13, and before I read this, please allow me a little license on 2 things. One, first, the Greek word for charity is agape, so I'm going to say love instead of charity, that because that is godly love. Secondly, obviously my comparisons are overly simplified, as there's a lot of overlap in the aspects of the fruit of the Spirit. But the important thing is they all complement one another and work together. So here goes. Love suffereth long, long-suffering, and is kind, gentleness. Love envieth not, love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Meekness. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Peace. Seeketh not her own, meekness. Is not easily provoked, long-suffering. Thinketh no evil, goodness. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, goodness, but rejoiceth in the truth, joy. Beareth all things, long-suffering and temperance. Believeth all things, faith. Hopeth all things, faith. Endureth all things, long-suffering and temperance. I think you'll agree from this passage that love encompasses all of the other 8 qualities of the fruit of the Spirit. 2, joy. Xyro, to be full of cheer. This is the same Greek root word for grace. Jesus not only wants us to be joyful, he wants us to be full of joy. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Now, in keeping with joy also meaning grace, probably our greatest joy over fellow believers is when they first come to Christ, experiencing God's grace. Like the angels in heaven, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons, which need no repentance. To put it in earthly terms, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. Of course, Christians don't need to be new converts to bring us joy. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Our fellowship with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ is to bring us joy from the day they accepted Christ Jesus as Savior and Lord, and every day afterwards. In addition to fellow brothers bringing us joy, we can also help other Christians to be joyful. Not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy. For by faith ye stand. 3, peace, irene, to join. Peace, the Hebrew shalom, was the standard Jewish greeting for each other. That this was very important to the church is reflected in the finding that every New Testament writer from the book of Romans on and afterward, except James for some reason, mentions the blessing of peace in the greeting. Jesus promises us peace, and his peace is very different from the world's, for unlike peace through strength, Jesus' peace is based on unity. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Finally, brethren, farewell, be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, unity. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. And be at peace among yourselves, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Long-suffering, macrothumia, macro long, thumia, passion. Long passion, long-enduring temper, better known as patience. Probably the best-known scripture verse for long-suffering relates to God himself. In 2 Peter 3:9, we read, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." As the following verses demonstrate, this quality also applies to us. "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. Gentleness, zrestotes, I know I'm not getting that right, but anyway, kindness, usefulness. Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. Charity, love, suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Remember, part of the definition of gentleness or kindness is to be useful. As James states, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Goodness, agathosune, the root is agathos, which means intrinsic goodness. Of course, like any attribute of the fruit of the Spirit, all goodness comes from God. And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is, God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Since we have fellowship with God, so that even our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, we can be filled with goodness ourselves. And how are we to use this goodness? Well, some examples. To admonish. Now, in the Greek, this means to warn or to caution. But in the Hebrew, this can mean to enlighten. I usually prefer to think that way. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. To edify, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification, to fulfill the law of Christ. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Speaking of faith, number 7, faith, pistis, root, to convince, to persuade. The word faith is very important to the Bible message, occurring 231 times in the Bible, and other forms of the same root word, such as faithful, occur another 101 times, at least according to my sources. Interestingly enough, the word faith only occurs twice in the Old Testament. I have no idea why. How can our faith strengthen our Christian relationships? It can bring comfort. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. It can enlarge other Christians' witnessing for Christ. But having hope, when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. Our faith can bring other Christians joy and thankfulness. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Faith brings godly edifying. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Our faith can be an example to other believers. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Our faith can even heal others. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. Even though it's important to always remember that, for by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We also need to remember, as James says, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Number 8, meekness, praeotes, the root mild or humble. Meekness or humility is something that God actually requires of us. In Micah 6:8 we read, he hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any. Now, continuing that same passage, we are to follow Christ's example. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Speaking of Christ's example, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Number 9, temperance, egratia, from end, and kratos, vigor or strength. Literally, in strength, controlled strength, or self-control. And I think we're probably much more familiar with the word temperate, based on the same Greek root. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. The following verse specifically applies to a bishop, but I think it applies to us as well. But a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Sound mind can be translated self-control. Now there is a passage that specifically mentions temperance that applies to all of us. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. I find it interesting that temperance is listed as coming before patience. Just interesting to me. In conclusion, the first commandment of Christ to us regarding our Christian brothers is to love them. And the last attribute listed above to add is love. Thus, the full circle. We begin with love, and we end with love. Love never faileth. So almost miracle of miracles, we are several minutes early. I guess I'm not going to have to worry about, well, we don't have choir practice for the choir special since it's the men's singing today, so I thought I'd give me extra time, but I don't think I'm going to need it. So any questions that anyone has? So to springboard off of that, again, just a practical example here. One of those fruits of the Spirit, or one of those fruit of the Spirit that I have not been claiming is joy. I just make the mistake too much of reading political stuff or shameless try to get you to buy this that you have no need for, or anything like that. Anything that's a care of the world, and that, as Jesus says in the parable of the sower, chokes out our fruit. And I think largely it does it by choking out our joy. If we are not full of the joy of the Lord, how are people going to see it? And what's going to be our witness? What's going to be our light shining? I love my God. I love my Jesus Christ who died for me. He loved me so much, he died for me. But that wasn't enough. He didn't just die to save us from hell. He lives to save us for heaven. And if we think like that, who can steal our joy? Anyone else that, one particular fruit of the Spirit that just speaks to them especially? Or who was first? Pastor? It was a tie, huh? Okay, Sam. I guess. Although maybe I should say age before beauty, or is it beauty? I forget how that goes. Anyway, Sam, go ahead. Well, I mean, again, you know, a fruit of the Spirit is faith. Some say faithfulness, but it actually says faith. And again, you know, when the father of the demon-possessed son, you know, is talking to Jesus, he says, you know, Lord, I believe, you know, help me with my unbelief. In other words, and then the apostles, interestingly enough, after Jesus just finished explaining that, no, you don't forgive just seven times, you forgive 70 times seven, or in other words, anytime they repent, you forgive them. That caused the apostles to go, Lord, increase our faith. So the point is, all of that is provided by God. Well, as expected, I'm over. So any more comments? Or I don't mean to abuse the no choir practice thing right now too much. All right. Shall we close? Precious Heavenly Father, just thank you so much for this opportunity to come and to read of your word and to let your Holy Spirit direct us and call to remembrance how mighty and awesome God you are, Lord. And just let us never forget that as we seek to serve you and to grow closer to you and just to be conformed more into your image. Just be with Pastor as he brings the message, and just apply it to all our hearts and show us the opportunities to bring you praise and glory and honor in your name and according to your will. Amen. Thank you.